The Jesus Storybook Bible, Story 11, 10 Ways to be Perfect. The Story of Moses and the Ten Commandments, from Exodus 16 through 17, 19 through 40. So, there they all were, grannies, granddads, babies, uncles, aunts, children, moms, and dads, out there in the middle of the desert. They had blisters from all the walking. They were hungry and thirsty and much, much too hot. "We don't like it," they said. "It stinks." And so did they, for that matter, because no one had taken a bath in weeks. Now, remember, because this is something they had forgotten. God had done amazing things for his people. He had hidden them inside a cloud. He had moved the sea. He had set them free. But God's people still weren't happy. They didn't care about being free. Wasn't it better when they were slaves? At least they had had lots of nice food to eat. "God doesn't want us to be happy," they said. It was the same lie that Adam and Eve had heard all those years before. "God brought us out here to kill us. God doesn't love us." But they didn't know God very well, did they? Every day of their journey, God kept on showing his people how well he would look after them, if they would trust him and obey him. When they were hungry, God made the sky rain with food, bread coming down from heaven. "What is it?" they asked each other. They didn't know, so they called it, "What is it?" Which, of course, is a very good name for something when you don't know what it is. When they were thirsty and started quarreling, God made water flow from a rock. Moses called that place Quarreling, because that seemed like a good name too. And still, God's children didn't trust him or do what he said. They thought they could do a better job of looking after themselves and making themselves happy. But God knew there was no such thing as happiness without him. So, God led them to a tall mountain. God wanted to talk to his people and show them what he was like. He wanted to help them know him better and tell them about a special land he was going to give them. "The whole world belongs to me," God said, "but I have chosen you. You are my special family. I want you to live in a way that shows everyone else what I'm like, so they can know me too." God called Moses up the mountain. The great mountain shook. A thick cloud fell. Thunder roared. Lightning crackled. And God gave Moses 10 rules, called commandments. "I want you to love me more than anything else in the world. And know that I love you too," God told them. "That's the most important thing of all." God gave them other rules, like don't make yourselves pretend gods, don't kill people, or steal, or lie. The rules showed God's people how to live, and how to be close to him, and how to be happy. They showed how life worked best. "God promises to always look after you," Moses said. "Will you love him and keep these rules?" "We can do it. Yes, we promise." But they were wrong. They couldn't do it. No matter how hard they tried, they could never keep God's rules all the time. God knew they couldn't. He wanted them to know it too. Only one person could keep all the rules, and many years later, God would send him to stand in their place and be perfect for them, because the rules couldn't save them. Only God could save them. All right, today we heard the story of Moses and the Ten Commandments, and it talks about the children of Israel, the Israelites, roaming in the wilderness. And God led them through the wilderness, trying to teach them things. But they didn't want to learn. Again and again, they complained and said, "Oh, it was better in Egypt. We had food. We had water. Blah, blah, blah." They forgot all of the good things that God had done. They forgot the miracles that God had done. They forgot watching the plagues happen to the Egyptians when they were spared. They forgot seeing the Red Sea part and the walls of water. They forgot being able to walk across on dry land and then watch the water crash down and destroy their enemies. They needed to learn just to trust God. And so he led them through the wilderness, and he provided for them. Every day he would send food for them. He provided water for them where they couldn't find water. He took care of them. Yet still, many times, they didn't trust him. They questioned him. They wondered why he was leading them through the desert. But he was trying to teach them and grow them and make them into strong followers. Now, he led them to the mountain, and Moses went up and received what we know as the Ten Commandments. These commandments were given by God, along with many other rules and regulations, but these seem to be, they seem to cover the biggest, most important things. The first four talk about our relationship with God. The last ones talk about our relationship with other people. And so as we think about the Ten Commandments, we need to think about how we can best follow God and love God and get along well with our neighbors and other people around us. And so what were these Ten Commandments? Well, let's look at them. You can actually find them in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus is the second book of the Bible in the Old Testament. The second book of the Bible, chapter 20. Exodus 20. The first one, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." God wants them to understand that he is the only God. That is the first one. "I am the Lord your God." We don't serve other gods. We serve one God and one God alone. The second one, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." All right, so the second one, the first one is, there is one God, only one God, the Lord God is our Lord and our God. The second one is, you shall not, do not make a idol. Many people bow down to things that are created. They worship other things other than God, things that have been created. God says, no, don't make some kind of statue or image and say that that is God. That is not God. The true God cannot be seen, cannot be made into an image. The third one, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for God will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." Many times I hear people use God's name as a swear word, and God does not like that. That does not make God happy. We need to honor God. We need to respect Him. We need to use His name in a right way, rather than using it as a bad word when we're upset or when we hurt ourselves or when we're mad. That's not how to use God's name correctly. That doesn't show God the respect that He deserves. The fourth one is to keep the Sabbath day. Now, what does that mean? For the Jews, God told them that one day a week they should not work. They should rest and worship God. And God wants us to do the same. He wants us to set aside time for Him, to worship Him. And when He gives this command, He actually explains that when He created the world, He rested on the seventh day. Not because He was tired, but to set an example that in each week there should be a day of rest. There should be a day where we don't work, where we rest and worship and spend time with God. It is God's special holy day. But it's also a day that is made and created for us, that God knows that we need rest. And so that is what the Sabbath day is for. Next, He says, honor your father and mother. God wants us to honor our parents, to respect them, to obey them, to do what they say to do, to treat them in a way that is loving and kind and caring, to honor them, to show them respect. Next, you shall not murder. God tells us not to kill other people. The next one, you shall not commit adultery. God created man and woman to get married and to be faithful to each other, not to have multiple girlfriends or boyfriends, but to have one person that they are committed to and faithful to. That is what God calls us to do. Next, you shall not steal. God tells us not to take things that don't belong to us. The next one, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Here, basically, it's saying don't lie. Tell the truth. The next one, the last one, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant or his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Okay, what does covet mean? It means to be jealous of, to want something that doesn't belong to you. God doesn't want us to look around at the things that other people have and say, ooh, I want that. Now, these are the Ten Commandments. But the truth is, they are difficult to keep. It is, frankly, it's impossible to keep all of them all the time. There is at some point, some time when we make a mistake, when we fall, when we do something that we're not supposed to do, even if it's as simple as lying, we have broken one of His commands. And so we can't be perfect. And beyond these Ten Commandments, there are others that God gives. But we cannot do it on our own. I can never be perfect. I can never keep enough commandments and do enough good things to earn my way to God. I need a Savior. I need a rescuer. And that's who Jesus was. Jesus came and He lived a perfect life. He is the only man who has ever kept every one of God's commandments. And so He kept them, and He was perfect in our place. He was a perfect substitute for us. And so God takes His perfectness and adds it to us and puts it and sees us through that. And so Jesus was the only one who was able to actually follow all the commandments. But today, think about the commandments. And pray that God would help you to obey, show you things in your life that are not right, that you in ways that you can obey. Let's pray. Lord, help us to obey today, not just to know what You tell us to do, but to actually do it. help us, give us strength, and show us some way that we can obey you today. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.